Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
I'm really excited. I could just stay up here and talk, but I think Danya's saying just do it. I'm super excited. We're in the On the Mount series, and Danya's going to bring the message today, and I think it's a very timely one. I think it's one of those profoundly complicated yet simple messages. And so you get to come up here.
I'm going to miss him because they're, let's just take a step back. We are part of the vineyard. This church is called the Houston Vineyard, and there's a Vineyard National Conference happening this next week. So a bunch of us from our team here, our leadership, are going to that. So that's why you won't see them here today, later at Rob's Memorial, because they're all catching a flight and leaving, and I'm taking my kids and going home. And so I'm going to miss that guy. But We'll be fine. Let's pray. Lord, it's all for you. It's all for you. This is your church. This is your people. It's by your grace and mercy that we're here anyway. So just be glorified today. Be glorified today and speak to us. Soften our hearts. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, guys, go with me to Matthew 6. That's where we're going to be today. Matthew 6. We have been working through the series called On the Mount. And we are working our way through the sermon that Jesus gave. And just kind of taking each Sunday and understanding what it means to be a disciple, what he's trying to teach us, what the values of the kingdom are in this perspective of this Sermon on the Mount, okay? So I don't know if it's going to be up on the screen because I probably didn't do my homework and didn't tell them it was Matthew 6, so it's my fault. So if you have a Bible, go to Matthew 6. If not, go to Matthew 6 on your phones. And we're going to start on 25. I'm going to give you a little bit of context, but we're going to start on, okay, there it is. See this team? I didn't even give him that. Sonia, can we give Sonia? I'm just going to take a moment because I need you to understand something. Nothing happens by yourself. If you want to accomplish anything in life, you need people around you. And so I'm so thankful for Sonia and for Ben and for Jesse, everybody that makes this possible. Like Josh, imagine Josh and I here by ourselves, like, okay, let's just go to lunch. So thank you to all our volunteers and all our team from the bottom of my heart, because and Josh says this a lot, church is made by you. So this is yours, this is your house, this is your home, so thank you. Okay, now with that, let's start in 25. For this reason I say to you, and we're going to go back a little in context, but let's start in 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And see, the context of this particular group of verses comes at the foot of Jesus talking about the love of money, okay? The love of and the obsession of wealth and money. And he says, right before this, he says, it is impossible for you to serve both, you know, a love of wealth and a love of God. It's just not possible. And so it's just not going to take you anywhere healthy. And so he's trying to tell, the fact that this particular part is in the Sermon on the Mount is very indicative of God's understanding of his creation. Here's why. He knows. He knows that you're going to worry about these things. He knows that you're going to consume yourself with food and clothing and things of this nature on this earth. Okay? He knows that. As I was reading this, I got a picture of a little girl, and she's out there, and she is playing, and she's working her garden, and she falls, and she scrapes her knee, and she's bleeding, right? And as she's standing up to take to find mommy, she runs and she falls again, and then she scrapes the other knee and she's bleeding again. And at this point, her emotions, she's just tapped, and she's now like bawling, crying desperately for mom. And she finds mom, and mom knows what to do. Mom knows that she's in pain, that she's worried, that she's feeling really low, and just she takes her in and cures her wounds and says to her, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. Have you ever, and do you remember a time with your parent or with your grandparent or whatever your caretaker was that you came and you were just tapped emotionally, you were worried, you were obsessed with something, and they didn't fix it really for you? They just held you and said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And you needed that love, and you needed that reassurance. Thank you, Kevin. See, already, Kevin. By the way, thank you, team. That was amazing today. Yes, let's give him a hand. Thank you so much. Anyway, you needed that reassurance that everything was going to be okay. And see, here, I don't know why I get that sense from God. I know that you're worried about these things. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And see, if you see, he talks about birds, right? About how they get fed. And it's kind of funny because we can read through that and say, hey, you know, birds don't worry. I mean, they're just there, and they open their mouth and they get fed. Well, they do get fed. They go out and find food and they work for it. They not just sit there looking pretty. They go out and work and they find it and they're okay. This passage is not about not working or not being proactive. This passage is not about just sitting on your laurels waiting for somebody to help you. And if somebody's helping you, oh, praise God for that person and praise God for that help. But, you know, it's about even though you're being proactive and even though you're finding work and you're going through life and you're seeing for your kids and seeing for your house and seeing about your job, and still there's worry and anxiety. So this passage is about anxiety and the anxiety that comes from those basic needs. Because, you know, I cannot tell you that in my life I've been in a place where I have not had those basic needs met. But I have heard stories of people that actually have had that happen and their basic needs are not met. And I cannot imagine the agony and anxiety that comes from not being able to feed your kids and feed your family and see about you know, your loved ones. So this particular passage, it's a little bit of a dichotomy because it's reassuring, but in the same sense, there's some people that might read it and say, I live somewhere where I'm worried that we're going to die of starvation. So how do you reconcile that, right? And my answer to you is, I don't know. You know, I'm not God, but I know God is love. I know God is love, and I know that his heart for us is that we are not consumed with anxiety and worry. I know that anxiety and worry, like it says here, cannot add a single result, cannot add a single iota of anything to your life. It basically just steals creativity. It steals peace. It steals relationship. When somebody's anxious and obsessed with a certain thing and somebody's just drowning in anxiety, it could be paralyzing. It could be paralyzing, and you're just trying to make the simple decision of, do I get out of bed or not? So I understand that there's many situations, but when I read this, the heart behind it is a good, we sang today about the goodness of God. When I read this, I get the sense that the heart behind it was the goodness of God, understanding his creation, understanding where we're at as humans, and saying it's going to be okay. Trust me. Trust in me. It's going to be okay. You will get all of these things. It's going to be okay. Listen. The first thing that he addresses is worry, right? Worry. Worry is just a thief, guys. And I cannot be a hypocrite and stand up here and tell you, oh, I have this figured out, I never worry. I'm the worst person to tell this message because sometimes I worry to the point of, like, I'm overwhelmed, right? I'm overwhelmed. Like, Josh was leaving this week, and I've been overwhelmed for weeks because he's leaving this week. You know, like, I've been overwhelmed because he's leaving, and I've been overwhelmed because he's leaving, and then he's going to leave, and then I'm going to do it, and everything's going to be okay. But all that time, it just stole something from me. It stole just a sense of peace. It stole maybe just being able to see and hear my kids or see my husband because I was, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'm going to do what I always do. You know, maybe it's healthy that he leaves so that I know that I can do this. I can do this. I rely on him way too much. Thank you for being a good husband, but I'm good. It just stole something from me. So I am not here, guys, on a position where I'm like, y'all need to get it together. No. We need to trust. We need to trust. We need to trust in the goodness of God. All my life, he has been faithful. We need to trust in the goodness of God. Okay. Worry steals perspective. So what is he trying to do with all these pictures of nature? He says, consider the birds. Consider the lilies. Consider nature. So that's a verb, right? Consider. It's like you're going, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Think. Pause. Consider. Consider is like an actual verb that means really think through this. Really think through this. Consider nature, consider the lilies, consider the birds. Consider how everything works around you without your help. And it still works. Consider. Consider your own children, your own spouse, your own parents. That if you were not there, it would work itself out. Consider. Think. Pause. Tell yourself. What did David tell his own soul? Soul. Worship the Lord. I tell all my soul, worship the Lord. You have an authority to tell yourself something. Did you know that? You have an authority to consider and tell yourself, stop. Stop. And that may look different for each and every one of us here. What do you need to do to stop and consider? Do you need to take a walk? Do you need to say, pause? I cannot have this conversation right now. I'm going to go take a walk. Do you need to pray? Do you need to go into your car and play the goodness of God and just consider the power of God in your life? What do you need to do? What spiritual disciplines is God telling you? Consider prayer. Consider gratitude. Consider wisdom. Stop. Consider. The next verb that we see that he's actively instructing us is seek. First, consider, stop, think. Number two, seek. Okay? Why does he say to consider and then to seek? Because when you're going like a little mouse on the trail like this, what do you call those little, the wheels? The hamster wheels. We're all like this sometimes. We're going on the wheel, and if somebody dares take a little thing off and the wheel spins out, it's like, no. We can't do that. We need our wheel. So we're going on the wheel, and then God takes the wheel and says, stop. Consider this anxiety. Stop. And then he says, seek first my things. Seek first my things. Now, he's telling you to seek first his things because you're already seeking first those other things. You're already seeking, you know, the next thing. What am I going to do for this? The worry about the money. The worry about what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? What am I going to do for college? What am I going to do for my... What am I going to do for retirement? It's enough to... We are driving ourselves mad. And now, am I telling you don't plan for your retirement? Don't pay for your kids' college? I'm not saying that. Money can be very good. And it cannot buy happiness, but it can make life easier. This is not a hate the money, and then just go and be a hippie. No. No, this is about perspective. Perspective. Kingdom perspective. Kingdom perspective. Consider his kingdom. Seek his word, his thing. Right before we went on 25, he said, do not build yourself a lot of treasure here. It will rot. Build your treasures in heaven. So here's the commandment for us in this. God is telling his people, his disciples, live a life as if you believed what I'm telling you, that there is an eternity beyond here. There is an eternity beyond here where your treasure is really is. So yes, buy the house, go to college, do the things, be happy. Yes, but consider and seek his kingdom first. In every decision, in everything, consider God and his ways and his kingdom. Seek his kingdom first. Now, we're all like that little girl. We all have a scraped knee. We all have a worry. We all have an anxiety. I'm going to ask the team to come back up. I told you guys this was going to be quick. This is simple. This is God telling me and telling you, stop. Just stop. Sometimes I need a friend. Sometimes I have a friend tell me, just stop. Just stop. Just stop. Whatever it is that you're doing, stop. And consider. What is the worst thing that can happen? Oh, I'm going to lose. Like, what is the worst thing that can happen? Like, let's consider eternity. You know, death? What did Paul say? Death is victory to me. Because there is an eternity beyond here, guys. You're here now. You're at the Houston Vineyard. You're here volunteering. You're going to do this. We're going to do the Fall Fun Day. We're going to be in community. Yes, we're going to do this with all our hearts as if unto the Lord. Always having perspective that beyond here and beyond this, there is an eternity with Jesus. There is an eternal God of love and power that actually cares enough to say to us, I know that you need clothes. I know that you need food. I know that you need work. I know this. Get to doing and get to considering, and you'll be fine. See, we say this a lot here at the Houston Vineyard. It's really not about the thing. It's about the spirit behind the thing. It's really not about that you're obsessing about. It's about your heart. Wherever your heart is honed in, that's who you are serving. That's your master. Did you hear that? Whatever that you're honed in, whatever you obsess over, whatever you spend your time, most of your time obsessing and honing in, that's who you're serving. That's your master. So consider where your source is coming from. Consider and seek first his kingdom. We're all like that little girl. I don't know what you have going for you this week. I don't know what you have going for you this year. I know what we all have going for us this last year. We all were part of it. But look at us. We're here. We're here. And the sun will come out tomorrow. And the day after that. And God is going to still be on the throne and still going to be good and still going to be worthy of our praise, even though our circumstances are whatever they are, he's still worthy of our praise. And in the throne room and in his glory and in his power, the most important thing that he says to us is, I love you. I love you. You are loved. Just where you are loved. You are loved to the point of I'm opening my arms and I'm losing my life because you are loved. Consider that love when he says, seek first my kingdom. You know what, church? You can feel good about making the decision to seek first his kingdom because he gave it all first for you. So I feel like I want to respond in forgiveness, really. I want to ask for forgiveness because worrying and obsessing is a sin against God because you're not trusting him. You're not trusting. And I don't want to be a distrusting church. I want this place, I want my heart to be completely 100% sold on his word and his gospel. Don't matter what I see. So this is for me. And I'll ask you to stand up with me. And if you want to do this prayer with me, you can. But I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to say, I'm sorry for not trusting you, God. Please forgive my mistrust. You are worthy to be trusted. You are worthy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Will you cover me with your forgiveness? Holy Spirit, come. Come and do your work today. We want to seek your kingdom first. We want to seek your kingdom first. We want to seek the things of you. Give us godly perspective. Let's respond in worship, church.
We'll sing one more time, the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, sing of the goodness of God
in all my life.
In all my life, you have been faithful.
He is faithful.
As we sort of look at our own lives and there's all these places for worry and anxiety, the reminder that we focus on the kingdom of God first and then he'll take care of the rest is great. We also look around the world and we look at things, whether it be what's happening in Afghanistan or the church in various parts of the world that is suffering, and we go, how does this all make sense? And what I love about the invitation of Jesus to us is that we put the kingdom first, and he'll be present in our everything, but that it's not just for us. That it's putting the kingdom first means we actively work for the justice of the kingdom of God in places where injustice exists. That we pursue the hope of the kingdom and the expression of that in places where there seems to be none. That in the focus of the kingdom, he comforts us, but gives us comfort for others. That in the change of our perspective, we get to see a hurting world around us and step in and love well. And so this week, as we go about our lives, may we take our worry and our anxiety and our focus, and we shift it and we look at the kingdom. We see how that kingdom of God brings perspective to us and shows us the world around us that needs hope and life and love. We're going to have people praying on either side of this auditorium, and online there's a link. We'd love to pray with you. If you're struggling with anxiety and worry and you just need a different focus, we'd love to pray with you. There's some other specific things we felt as they were praying this morning, and one is that somebody or a few of you, God is saying, I'm your father. And it's related to some relational issues you're having with your father on earth right now. And God is saying, I'm your father, and I want to be what you are missing. For somebody that God is ready to welcome back or welcome you for the first time, that he has never left your side, if you feel just sort of far from God, that he's saying, come back. I've been here the whole time. There's also, for some of us, it's a time to rejoice, and that he's saying, I've made this day for you to rejoice. So rejoice, even if it's difficult in light of everything going on around you. And not to ignore the Spirit, but to let him work in you. That you feel sort of the living God working in you, the Holy Spirit moving, and it's not to ignore it, but allow him to do that. And finally, something to do with forgiveness and the number 7. So if that's you, God really wants to talk to you. Because that's sort of 7, forgiveness.
And part of not ignoring the Spirit is acknowledging that if God is talking to you, if you feel like, this is me, this is for me, that image that I got from the little girl that was hurt and all dirty and bloody, I feel like there's a bunch of you like that today spiritually. I feel like you've come here and you're bleeding and you're hurt and you're just a mess. And I really feel the word from the Lord for you is, it's going to be okay. I love you. I love you. Come. Let me clean your wounds. Let me clean your blood. Let me pour my water, my Spirit on you. And it's going to be okay. As however long it takes you to heal, I'm your daddy and I love you. So that's for somebody today. And you came to just receive that. Take that love. And if you feel far away from God, pray with me today. Pray with me and acknowledge that there is a God and you're not it. There is a God. You're not it. And he's here. And his son died for you. And resurrected in power to save the whole world. And all you need to do is say, yes, Jesus, come inside my heart. So if that's you, just say, yes, Jesus, come inside my heart. Forgive me. Show me your love. Show me your ways. I confess, Jesus, you are the Lord, the Son of God, and I need help. Amen.
There's prayer on either side, and as you go this week, may your focus change. May you look at the King and his kingdom. May you see the life and the hope that comes from him. May that give you eyes to see those around you that need the same hope. And as you do that, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Has sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship, and we'll see you here next week.
See you Sunday.